Yeah, I think biblically we understand holiness and happiness, and not only in Scripture, but as it's been understood throughout church history. You go to the Puritans and you look up holiness and happiness, which I did in the Logos Bible software, which, you know, allows you to look at, okay, these words are used within 6 or 7 words of each other, or whatever amount you put in. And I would see how often holiness and happiness would appear together. Virtually never did the Puritans contrast the two. They saw that the holy life was a happy life, and the happy life was a holy life, because sin is what brings misery. Holiness is abstaining from sin and pursuing righteousness. The righteous life brings you the presence of God, the blessing of God, the happiness of God, the joy that is in Christ. So whenever you sin, you are not contributing to your happiness. You're actually undermining your happiness, and you're instead falling into misery. And if we think properly, we will realize that holiness and happiness are two sides of the same coin. I mean, when Adam and Eve were perfectly holy, they were also perfectly happy. When sin came into the world, what happened? Miserable instead of happy. But I also think we need to remember that in the garden, in order to be tempted by Satan's false logic, that Satan's offering them something that implies that God isn't acting in their best interest and that they could be happier if they would just eat of this fruit, of this tree that God had forbidden them to eat from. And so where did that desire for happiness in Adam and Eve come from? Well, it couldn't have come from sin because there was no sin. You know, this was before there was sin. Mm-hmm. So for them to be tempted by a desire toward happiness in the wrong place meant that they had an inbred, put in there by God as part of being made in his image, desire to be happy. So if we look at happiness and holiness in the right biblical picture, we realize they're completely complementary. And the worst message, I think, that we can send our culture, our churches, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, the worst message we can send in some ways is, well, if you want holiness, come to the church, come to Jesus. But if you want that nasty thing called happiness, you're going to have to go out to the world to find it. And in Scripture, it's the people of God that are having the feasts and the celebrations. It's the people of God that are overflowing with joy. And even in the midst of sorrow, they're called sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Mm-hmm.